Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, Chapter entitled Talks Between Narada and King Prachina Barhi, Number 60. Narada Uvacha Yenaivarabhate Karma Tenaiva Mutra Tatpuman Bhungte Avyadhyanena Lingeno Manasa Swayam. Translation: the great sage Narada continued, the living entity acts in a gross body in this life. This body is forced to act by the subtle body, composed of mind, intelligence and ego. After the gross body is lost, the subtle body is still there to enjoy or suffer. Thus, there is no change. Purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanarayan Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Shri Prabhupada. The living entity has two kinds of body, the subtle body and the gross body. Actually, he enjoys through the subtle body, which is composed of mind, intelligence and ego. The gross body is the instrumental outer covering. When the gross body is lost or when it dies, the root of the gross body, the mind, intelligence and ego, continue and bring about another gross body. Although the gross bodies apparently change, the real root of the gross body, the subtle body of mind, intelligence and ego, is always there. The subtle body's activities, be they pious or impious, create another situation for the living entity to enjoy or suffer in the next gross body. Thus, the subtle body continues, whereas the gross bodies change one after another. Since modern scientists and philosophers are too materialistic, and since their knowledge is taken away by the illusory energy, they cannot explain how the gross body is changing. The materialistic philosopher Darwin has tried to study the changes of the gross body, but because he had no knowledge of either the subtle body or the soul, he could not clearly explain how the evolutionary process is going on. One may change the gross body, but he works in the subtle body. People cannot understand the activities of the subtle body, and consequently they are bewildered as to how the actions of one gross body affect another gross body. The activities of the subtle body are also guided by the super soul, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha vedesh cha sarvair aham eva vedyo vedanta krid vedavid eva chaham. I am situated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Super Soul is always guiding the individual soul always knows how to act according to the reactions of his past karma. In other words, the Super Soul reminds him to act in such a way. Therefore, although there is apparently a change in the gross body, there is continuation between the lives of an individual soul. The great sage Narada continued. So in the previous verses, King Prachina Barhi was asking a few queries as to how is it that the reactions of one's activities now get carried over. For after all, the body gets destroyed. So herein Narada Muni is answering him and explaining the cause of such reactions coming in future lives. The first of all, Narada Muni is explaining within his answer that the living entity is different from the body. He acts in the gross body. In this life, the living entity is termed as the embodied soul. Embodied means that which is within the body. So that is the gross body. And then another important point is that the living entity is active, therefore the body is active. So the living entity acts in a gross body in this life. But then, can the gross body be the cause of the activity? So therefore he explains, no, that is not the cause of the activity. It is actually the living, this gross body is forced to act by the subtle body. So herein, the cause of action is further in being analyzed. So is it the subtle body, the mind, the intelligence and the false ego? So for this body to act, there has to be the activity of the subtle body. So we find that at all stages, at all levels, there is activity going on. The gross body is acting, but then the gross body is not acting on its own. The subtle body is acting. The subtle body is also not responsible directly for the activity, because the living entity acts within the body. And Prabhupada in the purport further explains that the individual soul is reminded by the super soul as to how he should act. In the Bhagavad Gita, these five causes of actions are explained. The soul, the super soul, the modes of material nature, the field of activity, and the environment, the senses. So, for someone who wants to understand analytically, because such analysis helps one to fix the mind. The mind is a very versatile instrument. It is very active, turbulent, needs engagement. Just like that example to explain the functioning of the mind is given of the genie, you know, Aladdin and the magic lamp. So there was some genie coming out of that lamp. So somebody found a lamp like that and they happened to rub it and a genie came out and said, "I need engagement." So after all this, whatever that person could think of his desires, "I want a house, I want this, I want that." Finally the genie told him that, "If you don't engage me, then I will eat you up. So give me some engagement." So there are two versions of this story. For the materialist, the genie is engaged. Ultimately, the person decides, "All right, there's a dog, you try to straighten the tail of the dog." So the genie goes and tries to straighten the tail of the dog, again it gets curved. So again it tries to straighten, again it gets curved. The devotees, they know how to connect everything to Krishna. So the devotees have the understanding, they give the example that the genie is given a staircase and is told to climb up. You go up and on every rung of the staircase you chant, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." And when you climb up, then again climb down. And you chant on every rung, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." And when you climb down, again you climb up. So this is a very practical example of how the turbulent and versatile mind can be engaged, fixed. The other process is by analytical understanding. When we understand the cause of something, the mind fixes on that. Because it is very interesting for the mind to find the cause. The whole world is enamored by effect. Everyone is very much impressed and interested in the effects of things. Because nobody wants to understand the cause. Live, eat, drink and be merry is the philosophy of today's world. So, let us enjoy now. Who worries about the cause? And let us see what is the reaction tomorrow. Tomorrow is another day. So, nobody is interested in the cause. And Prabhupada gives interesting understanding as to why. He points out to the philosophers and the scientists and say, because they are too materialistic and their knowledge is taken away by the illusory energy. So one is too materialistic and the knowledge is taken away by the illusory energy. Such a person is not interested in understanding cause of things. And even if they are trying to understand the cause of things, they cannot understand it properly. And he gives the example of Darwin. Yeah, Darwin tried to understand the cause of the change of the gross body. But because he was His knowledge was stolen away by the illusory energy. Hence, he could not understand the functioning of the mind and the soul beyond the mind. So it is very important that especially to curb our materialistic tendencies, we learn to understand the cause of things and not be so much affected by the effects. Because if you understand the cause, then the effect can be controlled. The effect, the desired effect can be gained. So here, since this change of body, this temporary nature of this body is so disturbing to everyone. So what is the cause of this change of body? So that will be explained. And just one rung up it has been taken up. The cause of this temporary nature of this gross body is the subtle body, the mind intelligence and false ego. Now the mind intelligence and false ego does not change. It gets carried over. It takes the soul from one body to another. Therefore in one sense, Prabhupada concludes that actually one's life is a continuum. One is leading only one particular, or let us say, one lifetime in one sense. There are just phases of forgetfulness, where one is taking another birth, growing up and dying again. So how does this one continuum of life take place? That is because of the desires, the impressions or the sanskars in the subtle body. Hence Arjuna makes his pertinent question in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has touched upon this topic and told Arjun, ultimately it is the mind. The cause of all your suffering within this world is actually, if you can trace it, the root cause is the mind. How? The mind is one's friend or one's enemy. Now for one who understands the functioning of the mind and understands how the mind can be friend or enemy, this person has to learn to utilize the mind. Uddharet, use the mind to elevate oneself. Atmana, atmana. One has to use the mind to elevate one's consciousness. Na atmanam avasadet. Don't utilize the mind to degrade yourself. Bandhur atmanas tasya. No. Uddharet atmanatmanam na atmanam avasadet. Atmaivahi atmano bandhur. For ultimately the mind is one's friend. Or atmaivahi ripur atmanaha. The mind is one's enemy. How is the mind one's friend? If one can somehow or the other make the mind one's friend and control the mind, then such a person, such a winner of the mind, comes in contact with the super soul. Jita atmana prashantasya. Right now sitting in this room, the mind is troubling us so much. And therefore it causes so much of irritation and agitation within our consciousness and the gross body. We can find it out. The gross body is agitated. Because the mind is turbulent. It has been exposed, it has been so much agitated by the three modes of material nature. Right within the temple room. So for one who is the Jita Atmanaha, or somebody who has conquered over the mind, he becomes Prashanta. Such a person becomes equipoised. And then one can concentrate on the cause of everything. Shrinatam so katha Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Ridantasthoya Bhadrani, Vidunoti Surat Satam. In one lecture, Prabhupada explains that Krishna is situated within the heart and he wants that your heart be purified. Because he is Surat, one's best friend. And Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita also that it is he who, by his anukampa, by his mercy, will cleanse the mirror of the mind. Tesham eva anukampartham aham ajnana jam tama nashayami. It is I who destroy. Aham, ajnana jam tamah nashyam. It is I who destroy. So Krishna wants to help the living entity, and how does he do that? He, Swakatha, he has come in the form of his own pastimes. Swakatha, Krishna. One devotee poet of recent times, he wrote a poem where he says, "Please protect me from falling away, for I have not as yet understood that you are non-different from your name." Similarly, Krishna is non-different from his pastimes, Swakatha. And simply by hearing Srinvatam, Abhadrani Vidhunoti, the Abhadras are destroyed. There is cleansing of the Vidhunoti. Completely, it is cleared away. It is clean. The mirror of the mind is cleansed. So that Prashanta Atma, that person who is, like Prabhupada says, like the Pacific Ocean, it is called the Prashanta Mahasagar, huge, nothing can disturb that ocean. It is totally calm. So Prashanta Atma means a person who is totally equipoised in any situation, can dovetail all his propensities into hearing about Krishna and engaging in senses in Krishna consciousness. Hence, so much detail has been explained about the subtle body. Otherwise, avasadayat, the mind will degrade oneself. And where does that take one? To another future birth, another body. And what does that entail, another body? That Krishna explains, Tani aham veda sarvani natvam veta parantapa. You do not understand how you came here, why you are here. Although both you and I have taken births within this material world, Arjun, I remember everything, but you don't. And the difference between you and me is that I don't change bodies and you change bodies. Although the subtle body has all the impressions of all the previous activities and it is almost like a continuum. There is no change in the activities of the living entity. The living entity forgets because there is change of body. So it is a very embarrassing situation. Prabhupada in one lecture he makes this point. The living entity is in a very embarrassing situation in this material world. He forgets what he wants to do. Even when he wants to enjoy his own material desires, he forgets that. Therefore, jnanam, because he's situated in the heart, he gives that jnana. This is what you wanted to do, now start again. Go ahead. So it is a very embarrassing situation. The living entity comes into this world, does not know what he wants, how can he get it? The super soul gives the knowledge. And once he understands this, that, and tries to get it, he cannot do it on his own. Prakritih kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvash. It is the material modes who do all the activities. Make him do all the activities. And when he is suffering and he wants to stop activities, nahi kashyat shanampi jatu tishtati ya karma krit. He cannot stay without doing activities any moment. Such an embarrassing situation. For who? Mamaiva angsha jivaloke. For Krishna, he says, Name karmani limpanti, name karma phalaspriya. For me, there is no action, no reaction. I don't need to do any activities which have any fruitive intentions. And his angsha have all those qualities within them in minute quantity. Krishna is never embarrassed by such a situation. And Krishna, we as being part and parcel of Krishna, also should never be embarrassed by such a situation. But when the living entity enters within this material realm, Prabhupada therefore says it is such an embarrassing situation for the living entity. Just like supposing, yes, many times we have experienced this, like somehow we have taken this material education, we have some qualification, and when you approach someone, and then someone insults you, and because there is not complete purification, you immediately feel embarrassed. Yes? Had he known what was my position, he would have not spoken in that way. Yes? We are so and so, son of a rich man, we have got a degree in this, degree in that. Had this person known, he would have not spoken in such a way. Right? We feel embarrassed, we feel insulted. Similarly, Amrit Putra, the eternal living soul, living entity, is embarrassed when forced by material nature to act in a particular way, when he does not even remember his own desires, which Krishna has to remind him in every birth. So for such analytical understanding, one understands, yes, the mind is a reservoir of all such desires, which causes this continual change of gross bodies. And it is the mind itself, when the desires, the sanskaras, the impressions, that can be changed. Abhyasena tu kauntaya vairagyena cha griyate. Do that abhyas. You have done the abhyas, Arjuna, of accumulating all negative sanskaras, all negative impressions within the mind. Now do that practice by which, and these negative sanskaras will not allow you to concentrate on your activity of devotional service. Durunigraham. This mana, it is very difficult to control it. Asangshayam mahabaho mana durunigraham shalam. How can you control this mind? Why? Because we have cultivated the perverted impressions of sense gratification within the mind for so many lifetimes. So Krishna says, now do this abhyas. There has to be regular practice. This is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is, Prabhupada translates, action in Krishna consciousness. It is a sadhana. There has to be practice. There has to be abhyas. We have to practice learning how the mind acts and to control the mind by dovetailing its propensities in Krishna's service. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayo. And then the words of the Amrit Bindu Upanishad will be true. Maneva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshaya. Bandhaya vishaya sango mokshaya nirvishaya mana. Yes. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, we find how this Avanti Brahman is analyzing. What is the cause of my distress? Sukha dukkha hetu. What is the cause of all the things that I am thinking is happiness or distress within my life? Is it because my relatives interact in a particular way? Na ayam jana. Ayam, this happiness, distress is not caused by the jana. Na devata, na atma. It is not caused by the demigods. Nor, this body is the cause of my happiness and distress. Na karma, na kala. It is not karma. It is neither my previous activities which is actually the cause of my happiness or distress. Nor is it eternal time which is causing my actual happiness. Mana tu paramam. Mana karanam param. It is this the mind which is the supreme cause of one's being bound in this material world. So yes, in short, it is a reservoir of all the impressions of past lifetimes that forces even a practitioner on the path of devotional service to act in a way contrary for his upliftment. That is the cause. And therefore, Prabhupada says, or rather Krishna also says, hence a practitioner on the path of devotional service should not be condemned for his activities. Because his intention being proper, very soon he will be reclaimed. Sadhur eva samantavya. So what is his proper sincere intention? Apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadhur eva samantavya samyak vyavasito hisaha. What is his sthiti? What is his situation that makes a practitioner of devotional service who, because of his past conditionings which are there within the mind, may act in a contrary way? What is that situation? What makes that living entity qualified to accept the upadhi, the designation of being a sadhu? Even Krishna, he anoints a living entity with this upadhi, with this designation that he is a sadhu. And very soon, chipram bhavati dharmatma, he is not just a sadhu, but he will become a dharma atma. Very soon he'll become perfectly religious.
What is that?
Samyak vyavasthito hisa. Because he is totally situated in a particular situation. And what is that? Ananya bhag bhajate. Ananya bhajan. He has a desire of surrendering to Krishna without allowing his mind to be distracted anywhere else. Ananya. That makes him qualified enough so that Krishna calls him a sadhu. So how does one have that qualification, that desire? Ultimately it is the desire for ananya bhakti that one wants. As Rupa Goswami says, anya abhilashita shunyam. There has to be shunya, any other abhilasha. So how does one cultivate that shunya abhilasha for anything else? It is just desire. Ultimately it's desire. And that is the only prerogative of the living entity to desire. Everything else is done by either the super soul, the material modes, the senses. The living entity only desires. Every single activity. Desire to hear, not to hear. Desire to eat, not to eat. Desire to walk, not to walk. Desire to work, not to work. Everything the living entity desires. And if the super soul sanctions, then he may work, he may not work. Even to the extent of blinking our eyebrows, the living entity may desire to do that, and then the modes and the senses act. And if there is no sanction, then they will not act. The living entity is helpless. Hence, Prabhupada often says, we should, when a devotee is calling out for Krishna, she should call out in a very helpless way. Like a child calling out for its mother. That helplessness is already there. It is already there within the living entity. Now one has to dovetail that helplessness into Krishna's lotus feet. The living entity is already helpless. We are already helpless. So, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada quotes him. He explains how the living entity should cultivate that desire. And he explains that through the analysis of the pastime of the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. He says, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he cleansed the Gundicha temple. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, after the temple was cleansed, he says, when the devotees cleansed the temple, they felt their mind was totally cleansed. The temple became purified. It was cool, clean. And it appeared as if the mind of the Supreme Lord had appeared there. So what did he cleanse the temple of? He cleansed the temple of grains of sand, trina, grass, dust, so on and so forth. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati analyzes this. He says, one should not attempt material upliftment, understanding the Supreme by speculative knowledge, fruitive activity, severe austerity and penance and so on. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as these are present within the heart should be understood to be unclean and therefore unfit to serve Krishna's sitting place. We cannot perceive the Lord's presence in our hearts unless our hearts are cleansed. Desire for material upliftment, desire for fruitive gains, trying to understand the absolute truth by speculative methods, severe austerities and penances, and such activities, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, are like the grains of sand, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants us to cleanse all of this from our hearts. So he explains in further detail. What is this material desire? Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that material desire is explained as a desire to enjoy the material world to its fullest extent. After all, the material world is an expansion of the Supreme Lord, so there must be some enjoyment here that we have missed out. And why not explore it to the fullest. So material desire is a desire to enjoy this material world to its fullest extent. And he says, what is that? In modern language, that is called as economic development. The more one wants to improve one's economic situation, it is because of material desire. Now, he is analyzing this situation from the point of view of a person who is not completely dedicating his activities to Krishna's service. A devotee will aspire for any economic development to serve Krishna. So here in trying to understand how that bhajate mam ananya bhak, that qualification one can achieve. So that even though one may be, our external activities may be sometimes contrary, although we do not wish it, if the previous sanskaras, the previous impressions within the mind force us to perform certain activities, which may be so-called fall down, but if we have this qualification of bhajate mam ananya bhak, then Krishna considers us to be sadhu, and very soon we will be purified and achieve love of Godhead. Chipram bhavati dharmatma, sashva chantim nigachyati. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that this inordinate desire for economic development is considered to be like straws and grains of sand within the heart. Sansara bishanale divanishi hiya jale judaite na kainu upai. Narottam Thakur says this desire that somehow or the other I should have some favorable situation within the material world, comfortable situation within the material world to enjoy it, at least to some extent, is like a burning fire. And there is no solace from it. No koinu upai. So this endeavor for material opulence is against the principle of devotional service. And just to clarify, Bhaktisiddhanta says, material enjoyment includes activities such as great sacrifices for auspicious activity, charity, austerity, elevation to higher planetary systems, and even living happily within the material world. So here in this, hence Mahaprabhu was saying, cleanse us, remove the grains, first let us remove. Even he lifted up the singhasana of Lord Jagannath, where he was supposed to sit, and cleansed under that. Because he knew, since time immemorial, the tendency of the living entity is to push all the dirt under. Even if you want to clean a room, if this temple has to be clean, and one has, the natural tendency is to get everything under this. So that this appears to be clean and this is not seen. So the natural tendency of a conditioned living entity is that he wants to do the devotional service, make it clean. But within there, the material desires are put somewhere to the corner of the heart, somewhere to enjoy to its fullest extent. And how does it manifest? Maybe this lifetime, no, somehow I must experience the heavenly planets to some extent. Otherwise, what if that becomes an obstacle? So let me go step by step. Or at least let me have a favorable situation now in this material world. And then everything is comfortable. Then no desires will be left. And then we can do devotional service. So Bhaktisiddhanta analyzes. All these things are grains of sand. Austerity, charity. This desire that I want to be very charitable. No, we don't want to be charitable. We are not a charitable institution. We are a Krishna conscious institution. And since it makes the heart, or it allows us to approach other living entities, then we may do charity. Our function is not to do charity in the sense that materialists do charity. Our only charity is to make people Krishna conscious. To make ourselves Krishna conscious, make people Krishna conscious. Austerity. We are not doing austerity just for the sake of austerity. If austerity were not favorable to our practice of devotional service, we give it up. Yes? Like the simple example, Nirjal Ekadashi, don't fast, eat grains we want, but do service. Because we are not meant, austerity means material desire, according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Elevation to heavenly planets, so on and so forth. Then he says, this material world is so dangerous, especially this modernized age. it is offering so many modern benefits. And these modern benefits in this modernized age are like the dust of material contamination. When the whirlwind of material desires enters within the heart of the living entity, this dust covers the mirror of the mind. It covers the consciousness. So not only are there material desires, there are objects to satisfy the material desires. There are objects developed which will incite material desires more. Therefore, Prabhupada in the Upadeshamrita makes his comment, only an Uttama devotee, a person on the Uttama platform, is capable of handling funds which come from so other sources. Because he will not be contaminated by that. The objects are there of material enjoyment, they are like the dust. Immediately the whirlwind of material desire will raise this dust and cover our consciousness. So Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, after analyzing all this, he concludes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleanses temple twice just to show how important it is to remove every single grain of material desire from our heart. And he says, sometimes when all the desires appear to be apparently gone, the devotee may be caught up in subtle aspects of material activities. And he says the first of it is kuti nati or duplicity. He says just like Haridas Thakur sits and chants, so devotee feels that I can also do the same way and become Haridas Thakur. This is kuti nati, duplicity. That is not his situation. And what does kuti nati result in? Another embarrassing situation, which is a distraction. Pratishtha, sir. Why does one want to do it? For pratishtha. For adoration, name, fame. And this ultimately, because the devotee is wanting, there is still kama there. There is another distraction, third, kama. He is wanting women and enjoyment. Hence, the fourth distraction, in a subtle way, comes nishidhachar. He will engage in activities which have been forbidden. And then there is fifth, puja. And all of this will result in jiva himsa. And Bhaktisiddhanta says, jiva himsa means a devotee stops preaching. Because real charity is, or real compassion means to preach. So devotee, he becomes secluded, he goes for his own austerities, for doing his satisfying his own material tendencies, stops preaching. And that is jiva himsa. So these are the six subtle obstacles that may arise. And he says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to show how he was determined, he cleansed with his own cloth. He used his own cloth to clean the Gundicha temple, to show that even my cloth, I will not stay back to cleanse the mirror of the mind. This is my determination. Generally, one's own cloth one uses the last. One looks from some other cloth that can be used. Like a small example, this is just a short example. When we were in Jagannath Puri with Maharaj some years back for the Yatra, so suddenly Maharaj one day morning came out, myself and Madhacharya Prabhu, then Govind Prabhu, he said, hey, go with Maharaj. So we went. We did not know where to go. So somehow we went and we went to Jagannath's cart, and it rained the previous day, and Maharaj offered obeisances right there. And then he sat down to do japa. And then I found out some reason to go away from there because I did not want my cloth to be dirty. I was looking for some place where I could sit down. Somebody else's cloth would have done, no problem. But Mahaprabhu used his own cloth. Why? Because he was determined. Siddhanta Saraswati says, the idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service. He cleansed the temple with firm conviction, as is evident from his using his own personal cloth. With firm conviction. This has to be done. And finally, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Mahaprabhu not only cleansed the temple, he cleansed the outer areas also. In other words, why? What if I have cleansed it and then a wind comes and blows everything that I put outside again inside? So careful Mahaprabhu is. And he wants to teach us that way. And Mahaprabhu, whenever he saw someone doing like that, he praised him. Very nice, very nice. And when somebody was not doing properly, he said, oh, you're doing it in a nice way. Why don't you teach this method to others also? And the person would become embarrassed and try to correct himself. So this is the This is the qualification for Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhag. This sincerity to cleanse the mirror of the mind. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. And then that will result in Anya Bhilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karma. This desire for Jnana, fruitive knowledge or speculative knowledge goes away. Anukulena Krishnanu Anushilanam Bhakti Uttama. Otherwise, after the gross body is lost, the subtle body is still there to enjoy or suffer. There is no change. Then otherwise one has to take another birth. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, doubts?
Thank you for the very nice class, bro.
Thank you, bro.
From Srila Prabhupada's purport, where he says that the subtle body comprising of mind, intelligence, false ego moves on to the next body. And taking a cue from what Gopi Paranadharam Prabhu said yesterday, that the living entity, the jiva, is not created by Krishna. The living entity is eternal.
Hmm.
Krishna is also eternal.
Hmm.
So are we also saying that the subtle body is eternal?
As long as the living entity is in this material world, the subtle body is there with him. Since the time the living entity has been in this material world, this subtle body of mind, intelligence, false ego, the material mind, intelligence, false ego has been with him. Just like sometimes we say the living entity is eternally conditioned. That means there is an eternally conditioned subtle body. The living entity is not eternally conditioned by his gross body. It is eternally conditioned by the subtle body. Prabhupada says it is just like an instrument. You know, just like if you have a desire to eat something, cook. So you make arrangements, you get instruments for cooking. A pressure cooker, a microwave oven. These are instruments for cooking. But what are they for? For fulfilling your desire. Right? So already the mind has the instruments for cooking. But it cannot use it in the subtle form. You need a gross instrument to fulfill that. So the gross body has to be there to fulfill the desires within the subtle body. Otherwise, the subtle body also has the subtle senses, the instruments. But that cannot be used to enjoy. It needs a gross body. So if this gross body fails, and there are certain desires that still remain, another gross body comes. That's how the gross body changes. Yes? The subtle body only is a reservoir of unfulfilled desires. So if your cooker fails, you get another cooker. If a microwave oven fails, you get another microwave oven. But does the desire for cooking go away? It stays. So that is how the subtle body stays with the living entity. The moment the living entity says, enough, Krishna, I want to come back to lotus feet, then the subtle body, this material subtle body is left back. And is free from that. Hence, the desire is very important. Change the desire. Prabhupada says, change the desire. Actually, at one point of time, somebody asked Prabhupada, how to control the mind? Prabhupada says, what is the problem? You chant with your mouth, you hear with your ears, where is the question of the mind? So it is as simple as that. So you change your desire. You want to chant with your mouth and hear with your ears. Nothing else.
So are we saying that when we go to the spiritual world, we don't carry a subtle body with us?
We don't have a material body with us. There's a spiritual body.
Okay.
The spiritual body has its own senses. The spiritual senses. Yes. Radhana Prabhu wants to add something.
A comment about your question. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is probably the shortest verse that says that through devotional service, the subtle body is dissolved. That's in the third canto.
Thank you, Prabhu. So, just to repeat what Radhanath Prabhu said, in the third canto, there's a sure verse which says that through devotional service, the subtle body is dissolved. This material subtle body is dissolved. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shla Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande.